I have an announcement to make this evening. I'm glad all of you are here. This will be the last meeting we will have for some little time, because the date that I had scheduled for surgery got moved up ahead, and so I'm going into the hospital for a couple of days on Tuesday. And Bonnie tells me that she is planning on a vacation sometime in June and July. Now, I hope to be on deck again in about 3 weeks. And so we're going to try and make our place available on Sundays, as we promised, unless I'm directed to go out of town. So I would like to ask all of you to remember all of the things that we have learned together in truth, and to keep on being what you have become, and to do everything in God. Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. I know that your prayers will be with me, and mine will certainly be with you during this short absence. So when we come together again, we'll call and notify you. We will have had a vacation. We will have had a chance to test things and find out for ourselves how much all of this means to us and how desperately and wonderfully we want to pursue it. I have a couple of things I'd like to share with you this evening. One is entitled The Origin. A very beautiful thing, written by Roger Long. Man demands the beginning and a boundary. So in the beginning, there was a sea of spirit, and it filled all of space. It was static, content, aware of itself, a giant resting on the bosom of its thought, contemplating that which it was. Then it moved inward until all space was empty, and that which had filled it was shining from its center. A restless and seething mind. This became the individuality of the spirit. This was who it discovered itself to be when it had awakened. This was God. And here's another one that's marvelous. You cannot bring about prosperity by discouraging thrift. You cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. You cannot help the wage earner by pulling down the wage payer. You cannot further the brotherhood of man by encouraging class hatred. You cannot help the poor by discouraging the rich. You cannot establish sound security on borrowed money. You cannot keep out of trouble by borrowing more than you earn. You cannot help men permanently by doing for them that which they could do for themselves. Abraham Lincoln. I think these are both tremendous. Our Bible reading this evening is from St. Matthew, chapter 2, beginning with verse 22. And Jesus answered and spake unto them, again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant to his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highway, and as many as ye shall find bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away, and cast him into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. This chapter says a tremendous thing. Because God is constantly inviting us to become one with Him. This is the marriage between the individual, God and the individual, and God as the universal. It is the one being married to the whole. This last verse, which says, many are called, but few are chosen, is something for each and every one of us to think about. God is calling each and every one of us every moment of our life. He is inside of us. He speaks in this still, small voice, constantly guiding us and directing us. He gives us in the beginning what we call hunches. And as we learn that these hunches are something more than just hunches, that they are actually God speaking to us because they have come true, we begin to have faith in them. And this faith grows and grows and grows. And as it grows, this still small voice becomes a tremendous voice. Eventually, it becomes overpowering. It overwhelms us with its power. We feel the ecstasy and the bliss of God's presence. We are lifted up into the heaven of our own being. And we start to live a life that we never even dreamed of before. We find that life is good. Life is wonderful. You know, I've many times talked about the guru-disciple relationship and the responsibilities of both. But it is an interesting thing, as one regarded as a guru, to view all of this life and the various forms of God which have come within my range. Each one who comes is a separate entity in God, a very part of His own one being. Some come with problems, some come with troubles, some come with vices. Some are angels unawares, and those we all love. But also, you remember that the prodigal son was the one for whom the feast was made. And the father left all of the other sheep and went out after that one. And that Jesus said that he came not to save the self-righteous, but sinners. I cannot think of people as sinners. They are all God's children in different states of consciousness and awareness of Him. The only sin is the idea of separation from God. And the minute we feel separated from Him, immediately, we start to do many, many things. Because we reach out here and there with this restless, seething mind, which is God's mind. And the reason that we do this and try to satisfy this inner longing in our own heart through material desires is because inherent in every single human being, there is this longing for union with God. And God is our very self. He is the eternal spirit which dwells in every single form. God is here every moment of his life. But from the guru's standpoint, I meet many, many interesting people. Many of them have hang-ups. And some of them have desires that they don't want to give up. They hang on to them like men. But again, we think of this last verse, many are called, but few are chosen. And we know why only the few are chosen. If you're applying for a job, you first have to qualify yourself for that job. You have to take the necessary steps to get the education, which is necessary. If you don't have any formal education, this is not always important. Because if you have dedicated yourself to God all the way, God takes care of you. And He knows what is good for you, every moment of your life, what is best for you. And everything that He does for you is right every single moment, regardless of seeming appearance. But you have to make every effort to present yourself in a favorable light to the one who wants to employ you. You have to be personal. You have to be willing to work. You have to be willing to do what your employer requests of you to do if you are going to be a success, if you do get the job. Now, many times, opportunities are held out to us and we aren't just. In the human sense, this is perhaps because God has something better in store for us.
Sure.
We never know, you see. And the greatest successes in the world sometimes are built on failure for the man who really never lets go. I can and I will. This could be a mantra that every single individual could use constantly. I can and I will. Not the little I, but God, that infinite spirit and power and light which dwells within it. To Him, all things are possible. And to Him, nothing is impossible at all. Now we look at this statement, and we think what God requires of us. We are told that the human ego must be completely crucified or transformed. In other words, it must completely disappear. There must not be one little shred left of that little stuff. Not one. If you are going to get over the top, if you are going to have your marriage with God, you have to do your part without reserving anything for yourself. Not one thing. There are many people who give unstintingly of everything they have for God's work, and some far more than they are able. There are many who work hard for Him, who are willing to be the servants of God, because they are quite aware of the truth of Jesus' statement, "He who would be greatest among you, let him be the servant of all." And they know that this is true. But then when the real trials and tribulations come, they fall flat on their faces, as much as they have done and as much as they have given. And there is one great big reason for that, and that is that they have forgotten to give themselves everything about them. As long as this little I is present, feeling pity for itself, wanting sympathy and acclaim, just so long, that person is not going to attain the final state of God's realization. We are all Christian soldiers. Soldiers of Christ in God. Let us remember that. Let us remember that. In order to reach the goal, you can't withhold one shred of what you call yourself. There are many who can't take criticism. The guru has a strange role. Believe me, I know. Because I'm required to do many things and act many ways and say many things which are completely distasteful to me in order that the results may be attained and that God may come in. And sometimes people wind up by disliking or hating me for trying to take them to the greatest thing there is. The bliss of God, where they can swim in the ocean of His presence. When, because they have become one with Him, this power within them is everything. And there is nothing which it cannot do, which it cannot overcome. Nothing at all. And there are others who have the insight, the sincerity of purpose, to know that everything that the guru does is for their highest good. And they see only God in everything which comes from the Guru, and they accept the hardest discipline without question. We've got to be self-starters. We can't wait all the time for somebody to come along and say, do this or do that for God. We should be having the idea of serving Him every moment of our life. If we truly have desire for Him, love for Him, if, as it says in the Bible, we love the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our souls, and with all of our strength, that's everything. We don't deal in small things, not in this group, and not in many groups. Because God is big. Christ is big. And all of this truth is the greatest thing that ever was when you really know what it's all about. That it is the truth of your very self, of every man who lives. Because the Christ consciousness is in each and every one of us. Lo, I am with you always. That means what it says. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. As I have said time and time again, this means that this eternal Spirit, which we call the Word, took on the form of flesh. And we are, in fact, the sons of God this moment. We don't have to reach out for it. But we've got to be willing to give all of ourselves, everything we have, in the service of God, expecting nothing in return. When the guru has to come down to the conscious level and work with duality, many strange things happen. And because whatever God is doing through that form is for the edification of and the enlargement of the consciousness of whoever stands before them. It is the testing of that one to see how great is their obedience. How great is their humility? How great is their surrender? Or are they just little people that look at what the guru says and take offense? They don't know the love, the torture, the suffering that the guru goes through for them. The roles that that one must play. And when they play that role, they have to act and feel, and it is the most real thing in the world while they're doing it. The same as every other human being on earth, though they go through all the trials and tribulations and the emotions of such a thing. And some of them hurt. And many times I have this experience. And sometimes because I'm working on this level down here, and I'm not up in the mountain of my own being where everything is blissful, I feel like crying. I feel like complaining a little. You know, everybody comes to me with their problems, and they dump them into me like I'm a garbage can. But that's fine, as long as they get rid of them, whatever is troubling them inside, and put God in their place. But if I get rid of one problem and they replace it with something else as a result of the desires they're going to put in, what in God's name can I do for them? And this goes on constantly, don't you see? Constantly. I was faced with this as a problem within the last week or so. I've been feeling pretty sorry for me. As a matter of fact, I had a lot of problems come at me from all directions. You see, each one brings theirs. So I not only have ones I have to deal with within my own special orbit, but I've got everybody else's. So I can complain louder and longer than anybody else if I chose to do so, believe me. But all of a sudden, I thought, that this attitude has to go also with regard to this particular thing. Because if I'm going to be the example, then I've got to stop feeling sorry for myself and I've got to measure up to the fullest. Because I've got to show the power of overcoming. So that there is nothing but perfection in what is placed before you. This is what I demand of myself. What do you demand of yourself? Or is it only me that you demand things of? If each and every one would take a look at themselves. There are many who come to church religiously, who love the Lord, who are striving with everything they have. And there are others who do these things haphazardly. This goes on all over the world. But when God really bites you, when He stings you with His bark of love, of bliss, and He says, you are mine, you are one of the chosen ones, you are. But you've got to equip yourself to do that. There is nothing in this life, in a material sense, that is worth a half of a penny compared to the richness of the joy of the Spirit. All of the fame, all of the position, all of the things of this world that we are constantly seeking are things we have to leave behind. The only thing that we take care of, to take with us, is the character, the consciousness of God, which we have developed during one lifetime. Everything has to be left, else has to be left behind. Our dear ones, our possessions, our properties, our bank accounts, everything has to go. That's the only thing we take with us. And those people who think that this is the only existence, the only life, are definitely misled. True, the bodies drop off. But it is said that God, who is the infinite spirit, is eternal. And if it is He who dwells in every form, and He is eternal, He doesn't die. That individual consciousness still lives on and takes new form. It's just like every year. In the spring, the sap in the tree comes forth, and the tender leaves bloom, and the blossoms, and finally the fruit, and then they all drop off. And from the flowers, there is a seed pod, and that seed falls on the ground. And though it seems to be dead, the tree next year takes on new life, and the seeds that fall to the ground become different bushes or plants, and so again a new form is staying around that seed. And each one manifests what it really is inside. I've been teaching many years, and not I, but God within me. And I turn everything over to Him when I come out before you. And I say to Him, Father, please do not let me, the little self, be present. This is the form which you have made. Use this mind, this speech, the actions of this body, only in accordance with thy will. Here am I, Lord, take me. When you can surrender yourself utterly to the Lord, without any thought of withholding, then God can come in and do the work. He can equip you. He can qualify you so that you too can be one of the chosen ones. Because if you don't, you'll be left waiting at the gates outside. And your cries will be heard to the farthest corners of earth and of heaven. Because believe me, when everybody is called in earth, the few are called and the rest are standing at the gate wanting to get in because they see how wonderful, how beautiful. With all of the good things of the Spirit there, they're not there. And they want to have earned it. You've got to earn it. And that means giving up all of the habits that you want to hold to your bosom. Every last one of them. Cut them off now. It can be done because I've done it. And like I've said many times, I never asked one of you to do anything which I first have not done myself. You remember the story in the Bible about the bridegroom and the 10 virgins. And the virgins were asked to put oil in their lamps. And 5 of the virgins did, but the other 5 did not. And so when the bridegroom called the 5 virgins with the oil in their lamps, they were ready and they came. They, in the meantime, had asked those who had oil in their lamps to give them some of this oil. They said no, they had to go out and get it. But while they were gone, the bridegroom came. And so they missed their chance. They missed their chance. Now again, these 10 virgins are the 5 final centers with the 2 powers in each one, positive and negative, below the Christ center, which is the 6th center here, right as an adult. This is again symbolic. It is a parable of what happens within man himself. And that projecting force, which wants to keep you from going to God, is represented by the five virgins who are not ready with the oil in their lamp, the oil of spirit. And the other five, magnetic force, which is within yourself, is represented by the five virgins with the oil in their lamp, who are ready, and they go with the Christ to paradise. It's a tremendous thing when you unwind the Bible and you really have experienced in your own life, because you have surrendered yourself to God completely, and He has lifted you up and put you through all of these things that you may know the truth, to know how different this truth really is from the historical truth which has always been given. It opens up a whole new field, a whole new world. And you realize that the whole universe is inside of yourself, all of us, only in minute form. Every single thing is there. And you have the power of God within you to go within, to surrender your life, your possessions, yourself to Him, and come out with a crown of eternal glory. I'm not trying to take anything away from you, which is good. I'm trying only to get you to realize that the desires that you hold on to will bring you nothing but trouble and disease and destruction. And to give you in their place this light, this consciousness, this power, so that you can truly represent God as His Son in this world. There is one statement that I always remember, or one verse in the Bible that I love. Be ye fishers of men. Be ye fishers of men. I would like each and every one of you to be fishers of men. Before you can really be a good fisherman, you've got to have the proper bait. That means that the blind cannot lead the blind. And you have to equip yourself to be a good fisherman. And you don't have to go all the way before He uses you. He can use you on the way up. Every bit of progress that you've made, He is aware of. That you make, He is aware of. He takes note of it. And He uses you, if you will let Him. Open all of your doors and windows and let the light of God come in. I've many times told the story about how I feel about this particular verse. And I said, I take a boat and I go out in the middle of the ocean and I take bait and a fishing pole and a long line. So I bait my hook and I throw it way out in the ocean. Pretty soon I get a bite. Sometimes I get a big one. And so I start reeling him in. And I reel him and reel him. But as soon as he finds out he's caught, he wants to run, he wants to escape. So I let my line out and I let him go far and as fast as he wants. So then when he feels all safe and secure again, I start feeling again, very slowly and quietly, doing this and that, as I think of it as I go along the way. And this goes on back and forth and back and forth until that fish that I caught out there is all tired out, and I bring him up to the boat and reach down with my net and haul him in. I caught a fish of God. This is a tremendous thing. I'm constantly fishing. There's not one moment of my life, regardless of what I seem to be doing, that I'm not fishing for God. I put on some tremendous shows, not I, but He through me. And some of them are filled with frowns, and some with laughter, and some seriously. And I take a lot of amusement out of watching the reactions of what God does through this form. And many times the things that He does through this form indicate to me what's inside of the person or people who are in front of Him. It's a very interesting thing to be a believer. You see all of God's children, which are His very self, doing all of the things which the deceiving mind, this little thing that I read to you, talks about. Because the mind is vast, it's thinks that's a man thing to do, and to keep its attention away from that which in truth it is searching for. That which in truth it wants more than anything else, but it looks for it in every other way but the right way. God and His kingdom are to be found within, no place else. In the 31st Psalm it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. This is true because if you give God everything you are, everything you have, and your very best, there is no desire that will come to you that cannot be fulfilled. Now, I'd like to close by giving you all my love with all my heart, because I love each and every one of you as though I had borne you in my own body. And I shall ask God to pour His richest blessings upon you, to keep you safe and on the path and working for Him. Give Him everything you've got, everything. Let's see the results. Believe me, you'll find riches that you should never, never dream of. Happiness, fulfillment, peace, prosperity, everything that is good in heaven and earth. Let us pray to Him. Oh, Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, beloved Jesus Christ, blessed Master, we ask Thee to pour Thy blessings upon us.
We
ask Thee to pour Thy
blessings
upon us. Oh, Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence. In every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet. And surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled. With the ecstasy of bliss. Of my communion with Thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
O Heavenly Father, open my eyes that I may see Thy face. Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere. Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love.
O Heavenly Father,
may Thy love shine forever. Upon the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
Thank you.